Every single step we followed so far was aimed at posturing our heart, clearing distractions, and building a scaffold for constructing our understanding of God's Word. Now, we begin to put it all together. Instead of inventing ideas or trying to find meaning through random thoughts or feelings, we're going to use the Bible to read the Bible. This is what we call connecting the dots. To begin, think of any passage or verse in the Bible. In your mind, take these verses and roll them into a ball. Now squeeze that ball smaller and smaller into a single dot. Place that dot on a sheet of paper. Or, for another analogy, roll up these verses into a single shining star and place it in the clear night sky. But as you know, these are only a few verses in one chapter and one book in the entire Bible. Therefore, instead of one dot on that sheet of paper, there are many. Instead of one star in the midnight sky, there are many stars, and even comets and galaxies. And even more, when you look at His Word, you won't see a bunch of isolated stars. Instead, God's Word is a constellation, a field of interconnected stars. His Word is a graph, a set of related dots. Every passage in the Bible will connect to and reflect other passages in His Holy Word. For this reason, we are confident that using any passage as your starting point, you can make connections to other parts of the Bible. But every passage is not connected to every other passage. Verses can only be connected if, number one, they have similar summaries, and or, number two, if they share similar people, places, things, or ideas. If two passages do not share similar summaries, people, places, things, or ideas, then you cannot connect the passages. Connections, whether to verses in the same chapter or to verses in another book, are strong or weak depending on the similarity of their summaries and the number of people, places, things, or ideas the passages share. So for example, Psalms 2 and Psalms 110, although separated by 108 chapters, are so strongly connected, they might as well be the same psalm. So do not restrain yourself to only connecting verses that are in the same chapter. Instead, expand and strengthen your understanding of God's Word by relating passages on the basis of, say with me, summaries, people, places, things, and ideas. Now let's demonstrate how this connection process works with Matthew 7:24-29. In general, before taking trips to other parts of the Bible, we should always begin by saying hello to our neighbors. That is to say, the verses around a passage will likely have more in common with the passage itself than the verses in other parts of the Bible. And so we read around the passage first. But how much should we read? Well, about 10 verses before and after the passage is usually a good place to start. For our practice passage, this means we'll be reading Matthew 7:13-23 and Matthew 8:1-13. As you are reading, make connections to Matthew 7:24-29 by seeing where the passages share similar summaries, people, places, things, or ideas. Pause here and take time before continuing. So let's briefly summarize Matthew 7:13-23. Jesus begins in 13-14 by talking about how difficult it is to enter heaven. Then, in 15-20, He says that true prophets speaking true words will produce good fruit, while false prophets speaking evil words will produce bad fruit. Finally, in 21-23, He tells us that those who enter heaven are those who hear and do His word, and they are known by Him. Based on these summaries, here are a few easy connections we could make. Number 1. Matthew 7:13-14, 15-20, 21-24, 24-29 all show us two groups of people. Those who walk the easy way of disobedience to bear bad fruit, build houses on sand, and suffer eternal destruction in hell, or those who walk the hard way of obedience to bear good fruit, build houses on the rock, and abide forever with Jesus in heaven. The second connection we can make is in Matthew 7:21. Jesus says that He stands at the door of heaven waiting to admit those who do the will of His Father, but deny those who disobey His Father. Then, in Matthew 7:24-29, Jesus echoes His words earlier when He says to those around Him that only those who hear and do His words build their house on rock and will abide through the storm. there are two things to be seen in this connection. In Matthew 7, 28 through 29, the people marveled at Jesus because he declares that his word must be obeyed and that he has authority to admit into heaven and send to hell. When you can decide somebody's eternal destination, that's authority. And the second thing we should notice is that Jesus says, those who go to heaven do so because they hear and do his words. But earlier he said people go to heaven by doing the will of his Father in heaven. In essence then, Jesus is equalizing his word and the will of his Father in heaven. According to Jesus, obeying him is the same as obeying God the Father. Our summary in Matthew 8, 1 through 13 reveals similar themes. Jesus heals a leper and then heals a centurion's servant. The centurion recognizes the authority of Jesus and says that because of that authority, Jesus only has to say the word and his servant will be healed. Further reading of Matthew 8 shows that Jesus has authority over storms and demons. So, from reading Matthew 7, verse 24, all the way through Matthew 8, we see the recurring idea and expression of Jesus' authority. We already know he has authority to command and to decide who goes to heaven or hell. After reading Matthew 8, we now see that Jesus also has authority over diseases, storms, and demons. He is Lord. So there you have it. Matthew 7, 24 through 29, far from being a lonely star in the sky, is at least well connected to the verses around it. But is it connected to the rest of the Bible? Let's find out. Look again at our summary of Matthew 7, 24 through 29, and answer this question. Are there any stories or passages in the Bible about foolish and wise people, or passages about disobedient and obedient people? Pause here and take time to answer this question. There are probably many, but here are a few to consider. Number 1, Cain and Abel. Cain disobeyed God and killed his brother. Abel, the righteous prophet, obeyed God by offering the right sacrifice by faith. Number 2, Jacob and Esau. Esau, through disobedience and impatience, despised his inheritance. Jacob, by God's grace, inherited Jesus Christ and repented of being a liar and a cheater. Number 3, Judas and Peter. Judas disobeyed Jesus and committed suicide. Peter disobeyed Jesus, but he repented of his sin and became an apostle. Now take some time to answer this question. Are there other places in the Bible that talk about the same people, places, things, or ideas found in Matthew 7, 24 through 29? Pause here and take time to answer this question. Of the many you could have chosen, here are a few. Number 1, rain and floods. In Genesis 7, God destroys wicked people everywhere using rain and floods that covered the entire earth. Incidentally, only Noah survived because Noah heard and obeyed the word of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 29, Jesus again speaks of rain and floods through which wicked fools are destroyed while the righteous wise are preserved. Now we see that Jesus is not only speaking about minor storms and floods of everyday life. Instead, Jesus is also speaking about surviving a flood that proceeds from God as judgment upon a sinful world. But jump forward to Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 9, and you'll see that Jesus is also speaking about himself. Jesus is the wise man who built his house on the rock by obeying God, his Father. Though he died when God judged him on the cross, because of Christ's righteousness, God raised his Son up by the power of the Holy Spirit. See Philippians 2:9, Romans 6:4, Romans 8:11, and Hebrews 5:7. The house of Jesus Christ abides forever, high above every flood and rain. See Ephesians 1, chapter 20 through 21. The second place in Matthew 7, 24 through 29 that bears similarity with different parts of the Bible is mountains. In Exodus 19 through chapter 31, God, cloaked in smoke and thunder, descends on a mountain to give Israel his commandments and instruct them in proper worship. In Deuteronomy 27 and 28, the tribes of Israel are instructed by God to stand on two separate mountain peaks, on one peak to pronounce a blessing on the obedient, from another to pronounce a curse on the disobedient. Now see how cool this is. In Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, Jesus stands on a mountain giving a sermon where he declares the fulfillment of the law, Matthew 5, 17 through 48, gives instructions for worship, Matthew 6, declares the blessing of heaven on those who obey him, 5, 2 through 16, and the curse of hell on those who disobey him, Matthew 7, 13 through 29. We now see that Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 29 is connected to verses immediately around it and to verses all over the Bible, and we haven't even mentioned them all. This particular lesson has been longer than usual. Our goal was not only to tell you what to do, but also to demonstrate by a few examples. Just keep in mind that all we want to do is make connections between the passage we have read and the rest of the Bible. We make connections by looking for other passages with similar summaries, people, places, things, or ideas. We always begin by looking at the verses around our central passage, and then, using the same summary and make-believe list, we connect our passage to other parts of the Bible. When you connect passages in the way we just described, the world you build from God's Word becomes denser, richer, simpler, and yet more complex. Continue making connections as you just learned, and in time you'll see that God speaks in constellations because He is one, and you will marvel as He unveils for you the beauty of His holy Word. God bless you.